Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here today. We're continuing our series called In the Presence of God, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. I hope that your new year is starting well. Despite what's going on in the world, there's this opportunity to be in the presence of God, and as we come into the presence of God, we begin to learn things about God. And so we looked at Moses, we looked at Job. Last week, we looked into the book of Isaiah, and this week, we're going to look at the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1, actually. And Ezekiel's going through a really difficult time, and there's really no reason for Ezekiel to praise anything, to have any reason to praise. And as I was thinking about the book of Ezekiel, it reminded me of this CD case that I have. Now, I know many of you are like, what is that? This is a CD case, young children. And you see, they had these things back in the 90s called CDs. I'll show you one here. This is a CD, right? And you would put this in a CD player and you would listen to it, right? And when you had too many CDs, you got a CD case so that you could bring it with you in your car or wherever you went. And so I don't know why, but Ezekiel chapter 1 made me think of this CD case. And I think it's probably because in Ezekiel, he's really struggling to find a reason to praise God. It reminded me that in my CD case, I have song mixes. Remember, like you could burn CDs. You could make your own mix, you know. Before CDs, we made mixtapes. Now you make a mix on your iPod, your iPhone, or your streaming device. So I have some mixes, and I'll share them with you. They're in here. So the first mix I had was this. It was called Chillin' in the Late Hours. I named them. Yes. I think there's a slide there. Chilling in the late hours. And that was my, like, reflective. Like when I was mellow at night and I was pondering things, I needed to chill in the late hours. I've named more. I'll share them with you. Here we go. This is embarrassing. You're going to have to share with me your mixed names. Okay, go to the next one. I can't remember what it is. Oh, Bobby's messed up mix. That's right. It's not because I'm messed up. I mean, I am. I'm a sinner. I know that. But the CD, when it was burning, it got all digital file got corrupted. So there's some messed up songs on there. Well, what's the next one there? Oh, Cruising Down I-96. This is a happy mix. This is a happy mix. Now, you might be thinking I-95 and I got it wrong. No, this is when I lived in Michigan and they have an Interstate 96. So when I was feeling good, I would put in Cruising Down I-96 and I would cruise I-96, you know, to the lake or something like that, and it'd be sunny, and I'd put the windows down, and I'd be singing, because this is the mix you put in when you were happy. But then I had a sad mix, too. I had a sad mix called Music for the Soul. This is so embarrassing. I'm letting you into my world, okay? But this is when I was sad, like when I was just feeling real, real down, or maybe something had happened that day, and I just needed, like, something for the soul, right? Like it was this really mellow music, and you know, sometimes I would just sit in the dark and just like pout and just be like depressed, and I'd put in Music for the Soul, and that's probably what made me think of Ezekiel, right? Because he's got no reason to praise God. He probably needs my mixed Music for the Soul. And if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, you'll discover what Ezekiel is going through. Now, look, I don't know if you have any mixed tapes or mixed CDs or mixed playlists, and I don't know if they go along with your mood and how you're feeling, but they do for me, and sometimes I praise the Lord based upon how I'm feeling. I don't know if you've ever done that. I mean, there's days when the Lord comes through for me, and he does exactly what I ask of him, and sometimes a little more, and I am just like, hallelujah. And I sing my heart out because the Lord is good. And then there are days when the Lord does not do what I ask. Does not do it when I ask him to do it, nor how I ask him to do it. And I don't praise with as much enthusiasm if I give him praise at all, right? I don't know if that's you, but that's me. My mood is affected by my circumstances, and sometimes it affects my ability, my reason to praise the Lord. And so Ezekiel is going through some things in chapter 1, and he doesn't really have a reason to praise the Lord. So let's read through. We're going to go through all of Ezekiel chapter 1. If you have a Bible open there, you can scroll there. There's some things in there I want you to see, too. I know some of you like to just listen and hear the message, but if you look at the scripture, you're going to see some things this morning. In the 30th year, this is Ezekiel 1, Verse 1, in the 30th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Kabar Canal, or river, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans by the Kabar Canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. So Ezekiel is by this river in Babylon. And Ezekiel is an exile. An exile is somebody who's not in their homeland, their hometown. And he's exiled to this land called Babylon, and he's by this river. And he is far from home. It's only 400 miles, but you can't cross the Arabian Desert. So the journey as an exile would have been more like 1,000 miles as they went up around the Arabian Desert. And so he's marched 1,000 miles from his home, the place he loved, Jerusalem, where he was a priest of the Lord. And now he's by a river in a foreign land as an exile. It's in the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, and we know from history that he was exiled in 597 BC. So this is about 592 BC. And he's an exile by the river, and there's a psalm that I want to read to you because I want you to really understand what it was like to be an exile by the river in Babylon, far from home. And so Psalm 137, turn there if you'd like. If not, it'll be on the screen. But it says this, by the waters of Babylon. That's exactly what Ezekiel just said, right? By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4 of Psalm 137, how shall we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. And so this may or may not be written by Ezekiel. This may or may not be even written in his time. I'm not going to get into any of that stuff. But the point is this. The author of Psalm 137 and Ezekiel were both sitting by a river as exiles in Babylon. And that psalm captures the depth of the despair as you sit by the river as an exile in Babylon. There is no reason to praise. In fact, they hang up their instruments on the willow trees because there is no reason to praise except for when their captors and their tormentors force them to sing songs as maybe a joke so they can maybe rub it in their faces. And that is what's going on by the waters of Babylon. And in this moment where Ezekiel is in exile with really no reason to praise God, there is nothing good going on in his life. He's invited in to the presence of God through a vision. And it's going to be really weird. And we're going to walk through it. So verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 1. We're going to go through all of chapter 1. I'm going to read parts and then we'll talk, okay? Verse 4. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually in the midst of the fire as if it were gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings, and their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Verse 8. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. Verse 12. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. We saw that last week, right, in Isaiah. Like the appearance of burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro from among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, verse 14, and the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Interesting. Interesting. By the river in Babylon, he's invited into this vision. And the vision begins with this storm cloud rolling in. Now, I was in Arizona several years ago, and sometimes they have these dust storms. And I remember being in a parking lot, and I remember seeing this huge, incredible wall, this storm wall of dust coming at me. And it was a little bit freaky. And you couldn't see to the sky because the wall of dust just covered everything. And as it closed in, you just got in your car and you just waited. And this dust, this storm consumed you. And then it passed. And Ezekiel is watching this storm come in and this cloud and there's this brightness. And in the middle of all of that are these four living creatures, if you can call them that, because from the description, it's different. It's different. And they're burning, which reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6, but we're going to learn later on in Ezekiel that these are cherubim. They're not seraphim, they're cherubim. They're a little different, but they're angels, and they've got this fire going all over the place. That's quite a sight. You can imagine Ezekiel coming home from kindergarten one day and being like, "Mommy, I had a dream during nap time, and it looked like this." I mean, how do you draw people with four faces and calf hooves dipped in bronze? And what is the meaning of this? And how does this apply to his situation? Well, we're going to get there. We got to keep reading though, right? But just so you know, Ezekiel's having a vision and it's pretty incredible. Let's keep going. As I looked at the four living creatures, verse 15, I forgot to say another thing here. The words likeness and appearance are going to show up very often in Ezekiel chapter 1, so you got to put that in the back of your mind. We'll come back to that later, okay? Verse 15, now as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth besides the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction, being as it were a wheel within a wheel. Verse 17, when they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went. And their rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So now we have four strange creatures, and now they have wheels with them. Makes me think of like a hoverboard. Like, I don't know, is this like the original hoverboard and the angels had them before they came out? They're on these things, they got these wheels within wheels, and the wheels have eyeballs, by the way. Okay. And the presence of the Lord is there. Now, I don't want to get too much down into the imagery that you see in Ezekiel, okay, because you get lost in this forever. But the eyes are symbolic of the Lord's knowledge of all things. The wheels are symbolic of the Lord's presence in all places, and it can go to and from. And so just so you know, in Ezekiel chapter 1, he's having this vision that's completely strange, but within this vision, we know that the Lord sees all, and the Lord is everywhere, which is comforting. And Ezekiel had this storm cloud roll in, and I kind of get the sense that it was like this shock. And after his mind settles for a bit, he's going to proceed to describe this vision now again, starting at the bottom, okay? And he's going to work his way up, and that is important as well. So right now, you need to have appearance and likeness in the back of your mind, and then I want you to put in the back of your mind the spatial arrangement of Ezekiel chapter 1. That'll be important as we get to the end. So here on the bottom level, we have four angels with four wheels and a lot of flashing. Verse 22, over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse shining like awe-inspiring crystal spread out above their heads. and under the expanse their wings were stretched out and toward one another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. And when they stood still, they let their wings down. So we have these creatures, and above these creatures, we have this crystal expanse, okay? It's this glass crystal sea. I don't know how to describe it, but just picture angels underneath a big, 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 big piece of crystal, okay? And underneath of it, the angels, they're moving, they're grooving, they're shouting, and it sounds like this army. I don't know if you've ever been in a group of with like a lot of kids, like a lot of little kids, and you tell them to yell something, they will yell it, okay? They're not like us adults who like, we don't want to do, like, I'm not yelling anything. That's dumb, right? We're adults. We're too mature for that. But little kids, you tell them to scream and yell, and they'll go, okay, sure. And then just, right? And it doesn't stop, even when you try to tell them, hey, calm down. It doesn't matter. You told me to yell. Like, I'm yelling. And so there's this loud commotion going on under this sea of glass, and we're not even through the vision yet. There's still more to come. And so let's keep reading. Verse 25. And there came a voice from among the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire. We're going to stop right there, okay? So we've got the angels, we've got the crystal expanse, and above that, Ezekiel hears a voice. And there's something so incredible about this voice that it stops the angels who are causing an incredible commotion. And Ezekiel sees a throne. He doesn't see anyone on it yet, but he sees a throne and he hears a voice that is above the crystal glass, which is above the four living creatures. We're moving up. Do you see that? We started at the wheels. We're moving up. And so what does Ezekiel see? What does Ezekiel see? 26, the last half of verse 26. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. It's not even a human. It's like a human with the appearance that's like a human. But it's up there. And it's seated above the throne. Now, when I sit in a chair, I never sit above a chair. I sit in a chair. But this is Ezekiel's vision. And I don't want to argue with him. So let's just say that there's four living creatures. There's this crystal expanse. There's this voice and a throne. And above the throne is sitting something that looks like a human. All right. Verse 27. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as if it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him. Verse 28, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, it's a really long way of saying rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Oh yeah, by the way, there's a rainbow. Let's just finish off the whole scene with a rainbow. Why not, right? I mean, like, you're in exile. You have no reason to praise God. And you're invited into this vision, and this vision is really trippy. And you're seeing all these things, and you're trying to describe them, but you can't. And there's all these different layers to it, but you don't quite truly understand what's going on. But you're there. You're there, and you're in the midst of something. Maybe it looks like this. I don't know. I Googled it. That would be cool if that's what it was like. Who knows, though? This is just an artist's rendition of what possibly was going on here. And so you can see the different levels, and this person has drawn the human in the throne, which I know we talked about it being above the throne, and that's fine. And so Ezekiel now has this, he has this final thing to say, okay? Let's go to verse 28, and let's keep reading. We stopped with the word brightness all around. And don't read farther. Okay, so verse 28, he says this: such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And that's how he ends it. That's how he ends his vision. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Remember earlier when I asked you to put a couple of things in the back of your mind? I asked you to put the words likeness and appearance in the back of your mind, right? And so the word appearance, I think it appears 16 times, and the word likeness appears 9 times. Together, that's 25 uses of a word that is kind of like, kind of comparing something that you just can't quite describe. And it's the glory of God. And so what Ezekiel is seeing is so awesome and amazing that he can barely scratch the surface of describing it correctly. He just can't really find the words to describe the glory of God. To describe the glory of God. We're going to get to the glory of God. We're going to get to the spatial arrangement. But before we do, I need you to see this in the book of Ezekiel. So I have a couple of slides for you. We started with who? Do you remember? You can shout it out. It's okay. We got the four living creatures. Yes, Moses is true. Yeah, we did start with Moses. But in this sermon, sorry, that's my fault. In this sermon, we've got the four living creatures, okay? As you read through Ezekiel 1, what is above the four living creatures? It's the crystal expanse. Yes, we have the crystal expanse. Okay, we're moving up. Okay, what's above the crystal expanse? We have a throne and we also have a voice. Okay, we don't have anyone sitting on it yet, but we have a voice and a throne. And according to Ezekiel, where is the human likeness sitting? Above. I know, we don't do that, but that's how he described it, and that's fine. Okay? So we have these four levels to the vision. We have the bottom, and then we go up, and we go up, and we go up, and we see kind of a human on fire. And that's where Ezekiel is at. Let's finish Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of the one speaking. As Ezekiel moves up and up, and up and up through this vision, he finally sees it, the glory of God. And what does Ezekiel do? He comes tumbling back down. I love the way Ezekiel chapter 1 just spatially arranges the text. It makes you, it forces you to go up, 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 until you see the glory of God. And when you see the glory of God, it brings you back down in reverence, does it not? And again, this is only what Ezekiel could describe at best using human words. See, when Ezekiel sees the glory of God in all its fullness, it drives him to his face. It drives him prostrate. It is the glory of God. There is no other thing in this vision. His situation is terrible. There is no other reason to praise. And yet we find Ezekiel at the end of chapter 1 bowing in worship on his face. Why? Because he was in the presence of God. Why? Because God wanted to show him his glory. And that glory is what drove Ezekiel to his face. The word glory is super interesting. It means fullness. It means brilliance. It means richness. But there's this figurative meaning to the word glory, and that figurative meaning is weight. It was the full weight of God that Ezekiel was seeing. It was the full weight of God that Ezekiel was feeling. No, we are not saying that God is overweight and he could shed a few pounds. That's not what we're talking about. It's just this vision and the overwhelming sense that there is this God that is glorious, and I can't even begin to describe it. And his glory is so amazing, so strong, so forceful, so weighty, that it forces me to my face in reverence. Ezekiel is by the Kabar River as an exile with no reason to praise except for one now, the glory of God. I don't know your situation. I don't know your week. I don't know what next week's going to bring. I don't know if you're going to go home today and you're going to pop in your happy mixtape and sing as loud as you can. I think that'd be great. I don't know if you're going to go home and you're going to need a little something for your soul. Well, I don't suggest my mixtape, but what I suggest is that you ponder, contemplate the glory of God, because when we're looking for a reason to praise, when we're looking for a reason to worship, and our circumstances offer us no reason whatsoever, not even one, there is always one reason for us to worship God, and that's His glory. And that's what Ezekiel discovers in the presence of God in this vision, as he's in exile by the river with no reason to sing, with no reason to praise. He finds one. He finds the glory of God. Now let me say this. I don't want to belittle any of the suffering that you're going through. I'm not telling you this morning that if you're going through something that is difficult, I'm not telling you to get over it and just praise the Lord. I'm not telling you that. But what I hope that in the midst of your circumstances where you feel like there's no reason to praise, that even if you are sorrowful and sad, that you could also bring into that situation the truth of Ezekiel chapter 1, which is the glory and the greatness of God, which is a reason to praise. And I'm not asking you to stop being sad. It's not what I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you in your sadness to remember that you have at least one reason to praise, at least one reason to bow, at least one reason to sing. And that's the Lord. Amen? It's hard, I know. I was a senior in college. Senior year of college is supposed to be incredible, right? It's your senior year. Senior year of high school. All these things are supposed to be great and wonderful, and there's supposed to be these celebratory moments. And in my senior year, before it started, it started with great sadness for my entire class. You see, we had a student who was supposed to be a senior with us, but he never made it. He never made it to day one because that summer he passed away. Fell 60 feet out of a tree and passed away. 21-year-old kid, senior year of college. And so my entire graduating class started our senior year with this sadness and this sorrow hanging over us. This kid was supposed to live across the hall from me. I knew him. I didn't know him super well, but I knew him. And it was really hard as a senior class to start your senior year when you have this hanging over you. And I remember talking with one of my roommates. And we just started talking about the situation. We started talking about God. And we're trying to unpack all of this because we're sad, and yet we have this God who we're supposed to love and praise, and He's supposed to be good, but yet we're sad because we just had a fellow classmate pass away, but yet God is good, and we're supposed to praise Him. And so we're just wrestling through all of this. And at one point, my roommate said, "You know what we need to do? We just need to praise Him." And it felt like in that moment, that statement, it was reorienting to my senior year. And I still think about that phrase. In fact, we continued talking, and my roommate, he said this. He added the phrase. You can put it up on the screen. I want you to remember this week. Praise Him regardless. And that became my anthem for my senior year of college. Became an anthem that I would share with others, because yes, in the times that are difficult, in the circumstances that are difficult, when we have no reason to give any praise, to sing, to have any joy, we have one, and it's the Lord. And the Lord is not circumstantial. The Lord is not beholden to this earth and to the laws and the rules of the world. He is the Lord. He's above all those things. And for that reason, we can praise Him regardless. Regardless of what? I don't know. That's for you to fill in. You have your story and I have mine. So this morning, I want to leave that phrase with you. As you come into the presence of God, and you find your circumstances are not your favorite, not what you were hoping for. I'd like to leave you with this phrase as a reminder of Ezekiel chapter 1, that we have a reason to praise, and his name is the Lord. And he is glorious, and he is awesome, and he is bright, and he is fiery, and he is shining, and he is sitting above a throne with a rainbow behind him, and he deserves our praise. I understand that life is difficult. I understand that you might not want to praise him with all your heart, and that's okay, but I just ask you to praise him regardless. I ask that you would bow yourself in the presence of the glory of God. And as we close this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to practice Scripture. I want to give you the chance this morning to bow before the Lord. I want to give you a chance this morning, in whatever circumstance, whatever your life situation is to give him praise regardless. I want to give you the chance this morning to be on your face if you want to. I'm not talking figuratively, I'm talking literally. If you want to be on your face this morning as we close out in song, then go ahead. Now look, I know at Davisville, we don't do that. I get it. It's hard enough for us to raise our hands and praise, okay? I get it. But I'm only offering you what I read in the Scripture. And if we truly understood the weight of the glory of God, I don't think we would have any other response than to bow before him. Do you think so? So if you want to kneel, go ahead and kneel. You want to get on your face? Get on your face. If you don't want to do any of that, that's fine. Just bow your heart, please. Okay? This week, you think about your life and you think about this, that phrase, praise him regardless. If you have the opportunity when you think of that phrase, would you just take a knee for a moment in recognition of his glory and give him praise? Would you do that this week? You could add it to all the other things. As you remind yourself that you are an unholy person, as you take off your shoes, you can add this one. You can bow now, right? Lots of things that we discover in the presence of God. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, I started our time praying about the sanctity of life and recognizing that death exists and that death destroys and that death brings sorrow. That's where we started, Lord, today in our prayer. And I'd like to end, Lord, by giving you all the glory, by recognizing that despite the circumstances of our life, there is a God who is glorious, who is above all things, who is love, and who is worthy of our praise, even when we don't want to, even when we have no reason to be joyful, even when we have no reason to sing, even when we have no reason to worship. Lord, we have one in you. God, I pray for those here this morning, for those watching online, that, Lord, you would remind them all week that we can give you praise. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge them to physically bow before you, even if it feels weird, Lord, as a simple way for us to express our worship of you, as a simple way for us to express and to acknowledge the greatness of your glory and what you truly deserve. Father God, I pray as we close out this morning that this song would glorify you, that this song, as we sing with all of our hearts, would honor your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.